scripture reading will be Matthew 6, 31 through 34. Matthew 6, 31 through 34. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
Thank you, Peyton. Good morning, church. Welcome to Glenpool Church of Christ, where we place discipleship as one of our highest priorities. And we define discipleship as yearning to be more like Christ, and we express discipleship by belonging and learning and serving. And so we're glad you're here in whatever form, whether it's analog or digital, glad you're with us this morning. This morning we're going to look at two different call accounts. One is Zechariah's and the other is Mary's. And what's interesting about these two call accounts, one of the fascinating things is they come back to back in Scripture. They're in Luke chapter 1. And so they fall back to back in Scripture. But what's interesting even more to me is they can't be any more different. Zechariah and Mary are at totally different places in life. Zechariah, they're different seasons of life. Different in their expectations in life. They have a different expectation of what the future holds. They're in different places in their walk with God. And most importantly, they're at different places in their trust in God. And so what we find interesting about this, what I think is the take home from this, is that God finds some of his most trusting servants in some of the most unlikely places. In fact, some believers are prepared for service to the kingdom, but unwilling. Prepared, but unwilling. We're going to go to Luke chapter 1, beginning and reading verse 5. Love for you to turn in your Bibles with me. Open your Bibles there. This is a long reading, so please stay with me. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. In the time of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both along in years. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time came for the burning of incense, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel of the Lord said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He'll be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he'll be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you'll be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." We'll stop there. So Zechariah, some translations have Zacharias, has all the right credentials to accept God's call to service. This is a guy who looks good on paper. His resume is excellent. Verse 5, he's a priest. Still in verse 5, he belongs to the priestly division of Abijah. Some translations say of the course of Abia. His wife Elizabeth is also a descendant of Aaron, verse 5, which means she too is a part of the priestly family. She's from the daughters of Aaron. And both of them, verse 6, were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. If there's ever anybody who's ready to hear a call of service from God, it's Zechariah. He's the right guy. He's got all the credentials. And not only that, he's in the right place at the right time to hear God's call. He's in the temple. He was one of those that was honored to serve in the temple. There, in those days, there were more priests than there were jobs. And so his division's on duty, and he is called to service, and he's chosen by lot to be able to walk into the holy place in the temple and to carry the incense into the holy place. The incense represented the prayers of the people. And so he had this wonderful blessing to walk into the holy place right next to the most holy place. In fact, the altar of incense was just before the most holy place. He's in an amazing place. And he has this wonderful gift to bring the incense and burn it on the altar, and the smoke goes up before God as a pleasing aroma, the prayers of the saints. So here he is. If there's ever a time and a place for anybody to hear the word of God and to be, answer the call to service, he's the right guy, he's in the right place, he's at the right time, everything seems to be where it needs to be, and yet in verse 11 and following, we find that he's unwilling to answer the call. Zechariah's call to service, just like all the other calls that we've seen, is in recognition by God of a need. God has identified a need, and the need is someone to prepare the people for the Savior. God needs somebody to pave the way, to level the roads, if you will, for Almighty God, for the Savior to come and start his work of salvation. And Zechariah is called in verse 13 and following to raise a son to do just that, to prepare a way for the Lord. In verse 14, this son will be a joy and a delight to his parents. Boy, any parent wants to hear that, right? This child won't break your heart. This child will be a joy to you. This is going to be a wonderful thing for you to have. This son will also be great in the sight of the Lord, because he'll bring many Israelites back to the Lord their God. Verse 15, 16. Can you imagine if you're in the hospital in delivery and the nurse comes and says, hey, guess what? You're going to have a child that's going to be a joy to you and faithful to God. And you're like, hallelujah. You know, I hope you know what you're talking about. Because that's exactly what we want our child to be. A joy to us and faithful to God. Well, that's the message that the angel brings to Zechariah. And the problem is, well, Zechariah's calling is to raise his son who'll make ready a people, verse 17, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. His job is to raise a boy who's going to pave the way for the Messiah to come. This is his call to service. And what I find interesting is the text suggests that while Zechariah is in the holy place, burning incense on the altar of incense, representing the prayers of the people, all the people are outside the temple, they're praying. Evidently, Zechariah is inside praying as well, and he's either praying for a Savior, or it seems even more likely from the text, he's praying for a son. I think that's probably true. I think if that's true, it's fascinating that here this man has a very public job to represent all of the people, and he's in taking this opportunity in the presence of God before the altar, close to God, to offer what seems to be a very personal prayer. And the reason why I say that, the reason why I suggest that is if you look at verse 13, the first thing Gabriel says to him is, your prayers have been answered, or your prayers answered. Hey, Zechariah, we've heard your prayer. And the answer to your prayer is you're going to have a son. Imagine how many years he's offered that prayer. Imagine how many years his wife Elizabeth offered that prayer. They're not young anymore. They've been married a long time, and they've not had any kids. And the angel Gabriel comes and says, your prayer's answered. You're going to have a child. And what's interesting is in verse 18, Zechariah's objection is not voiced in words, not so much, but in disbelief. In verse 18, he says, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years. Now, Mary's going to say something very similar to that in her call to service. How can this be? I don't know a man. But the angel Gabriel recognizes Zechariah's words as being disbelief. He's not saying, can you give me some ideas of how it's going to work out? Can you give me a flow chart of how it's going to work? Can you tell me the ABCs? He's not asking, how's this going to work? He's saying, I don't know how it's going to happen. We're kind of beyond the age. It's just not where, that's not where our bodies are at this moment. And we've tried, we have a long track record of trying to have kids, and we've got a long record of infertility. And I think he's either saying, either I don't know that you, Gabriel, are bringing me a message from God. I'm not sure about you and your message. Or it's even, I'm not even sure God can pull that off. I'm not sure God's willing to pull that off. So there was some disbelief in there. Because the angel Gabriel answers him. It says in verse 20, it says, you did not believe my words. So there's some disbelief. That's his objection. Not sure if God can do it, not sure if God's going to do it, not sure if you're God's messenger. And maybe that last one is the objection, because the reassurance, if there is such a thing, that Gabriel gives him is Gabriel's credentials. It says in verse 19, I am Gabriel. That means man of God. I am Gabriel, I'm a man of God, and I stand in the presence of God. He's given his credentials here. And I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. It almost gets the sense that Gabriel is insulted. I've come directly from the presence of God. I've come to you, and you're in the holy place, and next to the most holy place, and I'm a servant of God, I'm a man of God, and I'm bringing a message from God. And here you are, a priest of all things, crying out loud. Married to a woman who's from the priestly tribe. You guys, you got to get this. And you're asking, how can this be? And it's defined as disbelief. And so the price that he'll pay for his disbelief, verse 20, is to be unable to speak until Gabriel's words are fulfilled. All right, let's talk about that for just a minute. What does that do for you and me? Well, you and I may have all the right credentials. What would that look like today in the modern church? What does that look like today at Glenpool? You may be someone who was raised in the church. Hallelujah. You may be second, third, fourth generation Christian. You may be somebody who attends every time the doors are open. Hallelujah. You're not guilty of Hebrews 10, neglecting the assembly of the saints. All those are wonderful things. You may be an elder. You may be the family of an elder. You may be a deacon, a family of a deacon. You may be a Sunday school teacher. You may be, there's a whole army of volunteers that do things that aren't up here where you get to see them. Maybe you're one of those. All that's great. All that's wonderful. But that's not, all those wonderful credentials aren't necessarily guarantees of trusting God. We can do those things. We can be second, third generation. We can appear every time the doors are open. We can do those things and still not be ready to fully trust God, to hand our lives over to him and say, here, you do with me as you please. Some of us spend so much time on physical things, on worldly things, on material things. And when I say that, I'm not suggesting that these things are all bad. Some of us spend a lot of time on our academic career. Some of us spend a lot of time on our working career. Some of us spend a lot of time worrying how we're going to pay for everything, how we're going to make ends meet. How are we going to get all of the family to all of the things that all the family is committed to doing? All the baseball games and all the sports and all the activities and all the responsibilities and all the, how are we going to get everybody all those things? How are we going to move the career track where we need to be? Some of us spend so much time on those things that we don't have the time or the energy. And sometimes even we're so tired we don't have the desire to answer a spiritual need that God places in front of us, or to respond to a kingdom opportunity that God places in front of us. Yeah, I was there Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night. That's all I have time for. And Jesus, when he speaks to his disciples, he says, man, don't chase that stuff. Matthew 6. He says, the pagans run after that stuff. You're different. That's not what you're about. That's not who you are. So there are some people who are prepared to hear a call from God, to respond to a call to service, to see a kingdom need or a spiritual opportunity, and for whatever reason, they're unwilling to respond to it, just like Zechariah. On the other side of the coin, we have other believers who are unprepared, but are also willing. And this is Mary. Let's go to Luke chapter 1 and start in verse 26. Luke 1:26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. And hear this, church. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be with me as you have said. Then the angel left her. So as opposed to Zechariah, Mary is a believer who seems poorly equipped to not only hear a call to service from God, but to answer God's call to service. In many ways, she's the exact opposite of Zechariah. He's an old married man with a stable home and a stable career, and she's a young woman, a virgin pledged to be married, verse 27. He's a priest serving in the capital city, Jerusalem, in the holy place, in the temple. And not to take anything away from Mary, but she's a nobody from a no-place town called Nazareth. And does anything good come from there? Zechariah has all the religious credentials, and Mary has none. And not only that, God's call to service comes at a very delicate time in Mary's life. She's pledged to be married. A pregnancy at this moment in her life could be disastrous in every sense of the word. In fact, the very best, it seems as though, given the culture, given the time, given the experience, the very best Mary could hope for in this scenario, an unplanned pregnancy by someone other than the man who she is engaged to, the very best she can hope for is that Joseph puts her away, divorces her, leaves her, and that she can live out her life in shame. Because that's not what people in proper society do. If she can't stay faithful to the man she's engaged to, what expectation would he have of faithfulness once she gets married? Is he supposed to take somebody else's child and raise it as his? The best she can hope for is to live her life in shame. According to Deuteronomy chapter 22, what she might very well expect is to be stoned to death. The proper penalty for someone who's pregnant outside of marriage is to be stoned to death, Deuteronomy 22. So to say this comes at a delicate moment in her life is putting it rather delicately, mildly. She's really in a very difficult spot. God is calling Mary to a service that could derail every hope and dream she ever had. I don't think Mary ever grew up thinking, boy, I hope I have a pregnancy that's questionable out of wedlock. He's asking her to do something that puts everything she knows and hopes for at risk. And in spite of all of that, Mary is willing to accept the call. The need is similar to the need of Zechariah's call. The need is for a Savior. Zechariah's call is to have a son who's going to prepare the way for the Savior. Mary's call is to have the Savior. God's identified the need, and he's called her to service. Her son will be named Jesus, which means the Lord saves. He'll be called the Son of the Most High, and his kingdom will never end. And I'm going to suggest to you, church, that there's really no objection. The question Mary asks is a very honest question. She's stating the very obvious, verse 34, how can this be? I've never known a man. I've never been in a relationship that would bring about a pregnancy. And so I think she, as opposed to Zechariah, is asking, how is this going to work? What's the mechanics here? And so in verse 35 and following, God offers Mary reassurance through Gabriel. And basically in verse 37, Gabriel just promises there's nothing impossible with God. I think what Gabriel is saying, that's not your problem. Not to be disrespectful, but that's not your problem. The question for you is yay or nay. You up for this, or are you going to say no? And what has to be one of the most beautiful statements of trust in God in the entire Bible, Mary accepts her call to service in verse 38. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you said. Simple, plain words, but what a profound statement of trust. Church, you and I may think we're poorly prepared for service to God. But that doesn't have to keep us from placing our trust in God. Some of us here this morning, whether in person or online, are babes in Christ, and that's no insult. You're just walking, you're beginning your walk with God. You're beginning to have that experience where God asks you to walk out on a limb, and you do it, and the limb doesn't break underneath you. You're just now starting to build that legacy of trust with God and that relationship with Him, and that's perfectly, that's where you need to be. That's where you're supposed to be. That's where God designed you to be. Some of us here this morning are in a transitional phase in life. We've got some seniors who graduated, and you're going off to a new phase of life. We've got some folks that are moving away, and you're going back to a place that's familiar, but some new things going on in your world. There are some of you here who are dealing with some health issues and not really sure what tomorrow holds, not really sure if you're going to be at home in the hospital or in treatment. Some are dealing with parents and loved ones and family members who need your care. I mean, there's just a ton of things going on. We're not a bunch of static people just sitting around wondering, what am I going to do with all my spare time? And so in many ways, we can say, not me, it's not my call. But the good news is, none of those things keep us from trusting completely in God. None of those things are barriers in us trusting completely in God. But like Mary, serving God faithfully may mean we have to adjust our hopes and dreams. When we start saying yes to God, when we start saying yes to the opportunities that God places in front of us, when we start accepting, if we see a kingdom need or a spiritual opportunity, and we say, well, just the fact that I recognize that means God's laying it in front of me, I need to do something with that. When we start saying yes to that, trust me, church, it's going to change your world. Those plans you had laid out may just have to be scrapped for something totally different God has in mind. All that comfort and ease that you're looking forward to may be replaced with some really discomfortable service. Just ask Mary. In fact, if we ask Mary, serving God faithfully may mean that it even puts us in harm's way. A mission trip when the world is kind of sketchy. A call to service in a place and a time that may not be the safest in the world. But the promise is with God, nothing's impossible. And so I pray this morning that you and I, starting with me, but that you and I have the courage when God lays a kingdom need or a spiritual opportunity in front of us, no matter what it is, no matter how daunting and scary, the first thing we say is, may it be with me as you say. I'm yours. Do with me as you please. And the reason for that, church, is we're called to trust in God one day at a time and one step at a time. Peyton read for us out of Matthew chapter 6. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough worry of its own. Tomorrow will take care of itself. You worry about, you deal with today. What kingdom opportunities, what spiritual needs has God placed in front of you today? And what does that mean for the next step? Well, one example is somebody got up here earlier and said, you know what? We're heading for VBS. And you were handed a volunteer sheet. Church, if there was ever a spiritual opportunity set in front of us, I think maybe that's it. And what I love about what was said up here about VBS is the most important thing about VBS is it's an outreach effort. So I don't know about you, but I've been involved in some VBSs that are, and all VBSs are enormous investments in time, especially sometimes in money, in effort, and sometimes it just seems like that's an enormous investment in just patting ourselves on the shoulder. But when somebody says our focus is outreach, our focus is to reach the community and the world, then that's an investment of time, talent, and treasure that I can get behind. That's an investment I can say, okay, that's worth it. And so maybe a good place to start in recognizing a kingdom need or a spiritual opportunity, a good time to start saying, I don't really know where the time's going to come from for this. I don't really know what's going to happen when I volunteer to do something that I really don't know that I can do or that scares me or that makes me uncomfortable. This might be a good time to take that step. And just once, say, I'm yours, do with it as you please, God. You set an opportunity in front of me, kind of hard to miss. I'm on. I'm here. Trust is a process that begins with a simple decision, and the decision is simply this: God, I'm in your hands. And the really challenging part is, saying that, God, I'm in your hands, and meaning it, may it be with me as you say, I'm yours, the Lord's servant. That decision won't be any easier tomorrow than it is today. If I say, yeah, that sounds really good, and I'm all for that, and boy, tomorrow I'm going to hit that, it won't be any easier tomorrow than it is today. And church, we're not promised tomorrow. God finds some of the most amazing volunteers and some of the most wonderful servants in some of the most unexpected places. In just a minute, we're going to stand and sing, and this is your opportunity to tell us how we can serve you. If you haven't given your life to Christ and you're ready, then we'd love nothing more to celebrate with the angels your decision to put the Lord on in baptism. For those of us who have done that, our call is to take each day as a step of faith and draw closer to God and be more like Christ, be disciples who yearn to be more like Christ by belonging and learning and serving. If we can help you do that, won't you tell us how? If you're at home tuning in, reach out to us some way. Call, text, phone. If you're here and we can serve you, won't you come forward and tell us how? Let's stand. Let's sing.